Hey, this is Hanno, and I'd like to start by saying thank you for everyone who's been listening to the podcast. I know Angela thanks you as well. This episode was actually recorded a few weeks ago, but we did not release it because, well, we had a lively discussion that turned into pretty much an argument. But thankfully, due to the magic of editing and a little sense of humor, we are putting the episode out. And I'm really happy about that because not that it is a controversial topic, but it's something that is new. And when something is new and it goes against a lot of our preconceived thoughts and opinions, it's not always easy to digest and needs to be fleshed out a little bit, which I think we did in this episode. You know, anything, at least for me, that leads to a lively discussion or, you know, a little more lively discussion is a good topic and definitely worth hearing. So we wanted to get it out to you. So, you know, let us know what you think about it, and I hope you enjoy it.
Right down to business. Chop, yeah, chop.
I know. I've got a meeting to get to.
Okay, we're going to rock and roll.
Welcome, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome to Angela's Awesome Podcast.
I'm Angela Freeman.
I'm Hanno.
Here we are, back again.
At an unusual time.
What number is today? Today's how many? 15?
I want to actually say it's 20.
20?
Yeah.
Wow. Time flies when you're podcasting.
I know. So think about that. 5 months.
Wow.
Which is actually kind of cool, huh?
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah.
Happy 5 month anniversary to us.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, good.
20. So since we're talking about podcasts, if you have not done so and you enjoy the show, please go to iTunes and leave us a review.
Ooh,
we haven't
yeah.
mentioned that in a while.
Thank you. We'd appreciate that.
It'd be kind of cool. So it helps with how the podcast shows up on searches.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So now the one tricky thing is like, so on your phone, so let's say you have an iPhone and you bring up your podcasts and you open up your subscriptions.
Yeah.
There is no way to get to reviews through that. So what you have to actually
do it on your computer.
No, what you can do is you just search for the podcast.
Oh.
Like you're looking for it for the first time.
Oh.
And then that's how you can do a review.
Oh, no wonder we don't have any reviews. Like it's so challenging for people.
This drove me nuts. Yeah. Oh. Now on a computer, it's a piece of cake.
So just do it on your computer if that feels too complicated.
And if you're on Stitcher, I imagine you can do it on Stitcher too somehow.
And we would be so thankful.
Yeah, so here we are on a Thursday evening instead of a Friday.
Because it's going to be Sharon's birthday.
Yeah, and we're going to go hot spring it.
Yeah, well, Sharon is Hanno's significant other and one of my BFFs for 25 years. So, yeah, so we're podcasting at night, which is very interesting because I'm sitting here drinking some water and Hanno's drinking coffee.
Yeah. But I actually drink coffee when I get home usually.
Yeah, so he doesn't he doesn't take a nap, so he can sleep at night. I just got the scoop from Sharon.
Oh, did she really say that? Yeah, that's true, so I can sleep at night. So how's your week been?
Okay, so my week has been really good, and I've spent today doing some research on this podcast, which I'm very excited about.
And I have no idea what the topic is.
And Hanno has no idea, but I'm going to tell you guys that we're going to, first of all, I wrote a blog on this, and the title of the blog is Achieve the End Results in the Beginning. Yes?
It says Achieve the End Result in the Beginning.
Okay.
That's what it says.
So that is, and we're going to dive deep into that. But I started thinking about this because last week's podcast was on feminine strategies. And I just wanted to say a couple little things about last week's podcast. If you didn't listen to it, you can always go back.
It was really cool.
Yeah, it was an interesting one. Couple of things. First of all, I feel like it was clear, but I want to just re-say it because I think it's really important that masculine and feminine are both important. And the reason why we're discussing more feminine strategies is because it feels to me like these aren't as talked about as the masculine strategies when it comes to weight loss, body image, reaching goals and that type of thing. We tend to be very linear, very masculine, we've got to get to the goal rather than the feminine, which would be enjoy the journey. So this is a feminine strategy, enjoy the end results in the beginning, because the feminine is all about enjoying the journey. Like, we don't want to wait till we get to some goal far, far away in order to have a great time and enjoy everything. So I just wanted to recap that a little bit. And then here's what brought this up also is I had a question from one of our listeners, which was awesome. And it really, I've been thinking about it all week. And her question was, okay, she said, I really liked your podcast. I think your strategies sound really interesting, but you're talking about weight maintenance. You're not talking about someone who really needs to lose weight. Like, if someone has some serious weight to lose, you'd have to, like, actually, you know, go on a diet and change things and make it different because, I mean, for health reasons, if you needed to lose weight.
So you're talking about as far as, like, that at that stage, all you have is a linear response.
Exactly. Gotcha. So that was the question. And I was kind of caught off guard because, you know what? I do still have this old belief system, which has become untangled today with all my research, that, you know, you have to be at a certain rate to be healthy. Like, we talk a lot about, like, that cosmetic little bit of weight loss, weight gain. But here's the interesting thing about this. You actually, there, fat has become such a thing in our country that people actually think that fat is the cause of all these issues. And the truth is there's more and more research coming out that's stating that fat's not the villain here.
As far as food goes, you're talking about.
No, I'm talking about body fat.
Okay.
Yeah, good clarification.
Thank you.
So you think, well, that person should lose 50 pounds. They're clinically, you know, mildly obese. That's
so
going to cause,
like, fat index stuff too, like,
right,
you know,
and BMI measurements, body, yeah, and that whole thing. So we've gotten conditioned to believe that's what's causing our health problems. But the fact is that the fat isn't actually the culprit.
No.
So did you know that? Because a lot of people think that.
I've never ever heard that, thought that ever.
That fat is part of a health risk. You've never thought that fat being overweight is a health risk.
Well, overweight is different than just having body fat.
Well, I'm talking about being overweight. I'm talking about fat on your body in excess to a point where you would think it was a health risk.
Well, yeah, but it's not that it is indirect. So it's not like, so how I've always seen it as, I mean, yes, there are physiological things that happen to your body when you have a huge amount of weight. Organs are pressed upon in a way that ordinarily wouldn't be. You have difficulty breathing, right? You have, you know, you just even your lungs sometimes hard to take a breath. People have a hard time moving, but it's the result of it. The end result is you lack movement. You lack
the
this.
End result is you lack movement. That's exactly what it is.
But it's not direct from the damage comes from not moving.
Right.
Heart disease, all these things because you become more sedentary. The whole idea that we, you know, always talk about muscles burns more calories than
right.
the body of fat. But the idea, I've never heard or even thought about the idea that, oh, you have body fat. That's the problem. No, the problem is you've gotten a little heavy, you've gotten a little sluggish and you're not moving as much as you used to or, you know, that kind of thing. It's what you, that was the one thing I did.
But
think
here's
is,
the other yeah. thing about that. Okay, so you're already moving in the direction of where we're going with
yeah,
this.
I
but
know, yeah,
but
yeah.
there are a lot of people that associate that and there are a lot of people that are fit that you would still consider fat.
Why?
Because there's a lot
as far as like because of their body, how they
Why?
Look. Well, no, it took me a second. Well, I was first like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Really? That was an unclear statement.
No, I finally, it took me a second. It's because of what somebody looks like. You instantly think that, oh, well,
they're not healthy.
They're not healthy. And this comes back to that whole thing with that, you know, aerobics instructor, step class instructor she was a big girl.
Right.
And there was this whole stigma about her teaching classes and all this stuff. And
right.
I mean, I've read all about that.
So. Okay, great. Well, so you're more educated than me apparently around this, but. All right.
But,
so,
you know what? So good point, though, is that because I am somewhat interested in fitness and health and blah, 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 I'm not affected by certain stereotypes that the average person might actually believe.
Right. And so we're going to start in on some resources here for those of you that are not convinced of this. But basically, one of the main people leading the charge, there's a lot of people actually, and there's a lot of scientific. So we're going to go with the left brain scientific research here for a minute. But there is a lot of research that backs this up. But one of the gals is Dr. Linda Bacon.
Ha ha.
I know. I knew you were going to say that.
Oh, come on.
I know. You have to. Okay. She's a professor, researcher, and the author of the groundbreaking book, Health at Every Size, The Surprising Truth About Your Weight and Body Respect. What conventional health books get wrong, leave out, or just fail to understand about weight is changing lives. This lady, Linda Bacon, is changing lives through her teaching, research, writing, public speaking, and the transformative Passing the Message on Multi-Day Health at Every Size workshops. So her website is Health at Every Size, and she's quite the academic, actually, and she's been studying this, and she's basically trying to bring the message to people that... Because oftentimes when we, even as health practitioners, doctors, you go to a doctor, you're starting, let's say you have type 2 diabetes or you're at high risk for that. The first thing that everybody wants you to do, not everybody, but not Linda Bacon, but is we need to get you to lose weight and that'll help you with this diabetes. But the problem is that diabetes 2 is actually what's making you gain the weight. So what we really need to address is how to work on regulating your insulin in a way that supports you rather than trying to get you to lose weight first.
Well, that's like that idea, like somebody with sleep apnea, you know, that oh, okay, well, you're heavy and that's probably contributing to your sleep apnea. But the fact that I have sleep apnea, which means I don't oxygenate my blood properly at night and I feel lethargic all day and right. I don't want to go do anything.
Right.
And it's literally, it's a vicious circle.
Right. So we would put you on what are they called? CPAPs?
Yeah. They do a test. And then if it's true, you're not oxygenated, they put you on a CPAP machine, hopefully get you some more. But thing for a doctor is to say, oh, all right, first of all, you need to lose some weight.
Right. And that's the problem. And that's what Linda Bacon's talking about. And that's what we're talking about in this podcast a little bit as we get into the other part of the topic is that, in fact, the losing the weight is not necessarily what needs to be done first. The losing the weight is a vanity social acceptance thing. It's not about actually being healthier.
Yeah, because, well, and that goes to that, once again, that thing idea that, you know, when people do go work out for the first time and they're finally lifting some weights, they actually might gain some weight.
Right.
And that, you know, going away from this linear masculine thinking of numbers.
Right.
And looking at the feminine side of it. And I think that's what we're getting into here a little bit.
Right. Exactly. So this is from Linda Bacon's.
I'm picking up what you're throwing down.
Okay, good. Good. You're actually way on it. Thought you would be, which is cool.
I thought you were going to wow me with your facts and figures.
I really thought I was going to wow you, but I'm sure I'll wow you at some point. You just be sure and let me know.
I will. Okay.
Okay. So this is from her website and it says, let's face facts. We've lost the war on obesity. Fighting fat hasn't made the fat go away. And being thinner, even if we knew how to successfully accomplish it, will not necessarily make us healthier or happier. The war on obesity has taken its toll. Extensive collateral damage has resulted. Food and body preoccupation, self-hatred, eating disorders, discrimination, poor health. Few of us are at peace with our bodies, whether because we're fat or because we fear becoming fat.
Mm-hmm.
Ta-da.
Where's my
tut-out? Yeah, where is that?
I don't know. I lost myself.
Health at Every Size, which is Linda Bacon's website, Health at Every Size is the new peace movement. And we here at Angela's Awesome Podcast are on board. That's better.
You know, I don't have ta-da on this one. That was from my old soundboard.
Oh, well, this is... Okay, we got the new soundboard and we got the new Health at Every Size is the new peace movement. We have all kinds of new things going. Yay, okay. So very simply, it acknowledges that good health can be best realized independent from considerations of size. It supports people of all sizes in addressing health directly by adopting healthy behaviors. Love this stuff.
I was just handed a breaking story.
Okay, good. Lay it on us.
We actually have an intern today. So this is what doctors are teaching us, that some of the health risks of being overweight are type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, heart disease, stroke, cancer, sleep apnea, osteoarthritis, fatty liver disease, kidney disease, and pregnancy problems.
Okay, but again, that is incorrect. The way that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Thank you, intern.
Because the thing is those things can actually lead to you being more fat, and those things can be addressed without actually losing fat at all. You may end up losing fat in the process, but you may not. And losing fat is indeed not the goal, but becoming healthier is the goal. So
here, that's the sustainable goal.
That's what you're talking about. I just gave Hannah the
because that's the whole point here is if it's just about losing weight, well, anyone can go starve themselves.
But the thing is a lot of people can't, because then you're getting into a whole new thing. Your metabolism slows down, your body starts fighting you, you start binging, you start overeating, or let's say you're really good at starving yourself, and then all of a sudden that's all you can think about is, oh my God, I'm so hungry. And then where's your life with that?
Yeah, and I think one of the things you're going to with all this is, like, you know, people that are looking at lap band surgery.
Yeah.
They have to go at least, I think it's at least 6 months, and some as much as a year of various counseling and diet and all this stuff that they have to do beforehand.
Right.
Because we're talking sustainable.
I mean,
the doctor can go in and just stick the lap band in and it automatically makes a difference, but you haven't changed your behaviors at all.
Right.
And that's really what we're talking about.
It doesn't necessarily make you healthier. Losing that weight doesn't necessarily make you healthy. Well, you could still eat like crap, but you could still be at risk for cancer. You could still have type 2 diabetes. You could still have sleep apnea. You could still have a fatty liver.
It's true.
I mean, they have done a lot of studies looking at mortality rates and weight. And actually, most of the studies indicate that the people that are heavier, even, you know, borderline obese, live longer than the people that are thinner. Like, there's no correlation living longer and being at what we would call a quote unquote healthy weight.
And that's, my example, I actually know a guy that did it, and he was a huge man. I mean, huge man. And every year, annual ski trip that happens in a few weeks, he's sitting on the bar stool the whole weekend, you know, just drinking and buying everybody drinks and stuff.
Right.
And so he went on, you know, he wanted to get lap band surgery. I mean, it was serious health issues.
Right.
So what he was telling me is, he told me about the process. I mean, he had to stop drinking.
Right.
He had to, you know, all this diet stuff and blah, blah, blah. And all this counseling and everything like that. And he went from having, like, you know, a bag full of medications that he had to take to just a few.
Right.
But that had nothing to do with the lap band surgery.
No, it had to do with him stopping the drinking
and the changing the diet and the actual work. Yeah, here we go again.
Okay, so the intern Axel actually handed me the sheet also and says, this is what doctors are teaching you. And I am going to say, I know.
Yeah.
And it's not correct information. So we're here today to shine a big fat spotlight and lead you into some better doctors and some better information, because it is the habits, the healthy habits that we are doing that are leading us to more sustainable health and away from disease, not necessarily losing weight. Now, will some of these healthy habits indeed help us lose weight? Maybe.
Yeah,
absolutely. Maybe not. But if the goal is to lose weight, to be healthier, and we'll do it at any cost, the problem that we're going to run into is that we're still going to, like you said, we're not addressing the other issues.
And like we're talking about, we want to achieve the end results in the beginning.
Yes. And those of you out there, especially you gals that are listening, like, it's time for us to embrace a more feminine strategy and let go of this, I've got to be at this weight in order to be healthy nonsense, and start doing healthy things, whether or not they lead us to weight loss. That's the thing.
Yes.
That's the point of today's podcast. Angela Freeman, over and out. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. I want to say a little bit more about...
Okay, thank you.
You found it.
That was bothering me.
So this is a little bit more... about Linda Bacon's site, Health at Every Size, is based on the simple premise that the best way to improve health is to honor your body. Honoring your body means learning to listen to it. It means learning to feel how it feels when you eat certain things. It means learning how to be in relationship with food, learning how to be in relationship with the other people in your life, learning how to be in relationship with your job. I mean, it's a full thing. Honoring your body doesn't mean I'm never going to eat that junk food again. That just isn't what it means.
Does that clears me on that glazed.
It absolutely
yummy,
does.
Sugary.
Here's another interesting thing.
Donut I had this morning.
If you go to Linda Bacon's website, she has. I mean, if you're like, what are you talking about? I spent like 3 hours there today. There's podcasts, there's articles. She's been interviewed by tons of people. I have some more information I'm going to read to you here in a minute. But basically, one of the podcasts I was listening, she was being interviewed and they were talking about type 2 diabetes. They did a study on people with type 2 diabetes because another risk factor for type 2 diabetes is being poor. Like it's much higher in poverty.
Yeah.
Populations. Yeah. So they did a study and all they did is give these people in these scary places to live, these scary living environment, they gave them vouchers so they could live someplace that was safer and cleaner and more and nicer.
Yeah.
And these people's type 2 diabetes started improving. They told them nothing about doing anything different with their eating.
They just moved them to a different place.
They moved them to a different location. That blew my mind. Mm-hmm. That blew my mind.
There's been a lot of studies that go into that with regard to health issues and other things as well.
Yeah.
Mental health issues.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. It's just your location of where you live, what you're surrounded by.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is one more thing about Linda Bacon here, and then we're moving on to another guy that I was reading about today. This is from, she was interviewed by Mandy Katz. On July 16th, 2009 in the New York Times. And it says, the aim is to behave as if you have reached your goal weight and to act on ambitions postponed while trying to become thin. Everything from buying new clothes to changing careers, regular exercise should be for fun, not for slimming.
I like that, by the way.
So do I. Yeah. That's the whole topic. Yeah, I'm so glad you liked the topic tonight.
Well, that was like yesterday. I went to the gym. And I realized that I couldn't get on a machine I wanted to get on. And this is how I justified my donut this morning, by the way. And so I did 10 minutes on a treadmill, and then I went on to the stair tread, which I like. And I was like, well, I'll do my usual, you know, I'll do another 10 and I do my 20. And I was like, screw it. I'll do 20.
Yeah.
And it was not out of like, oh, I got to meet some goal or something like that. But it was actually, I was enjoying working out last night.
Yeah. It felt good.
It felt good.
You were listening to your body.
That was exactly it. My body had no problem going that extra amount yesterday.
Right. Because our body, if we get tuned in, we'll talk to us and let us know. So
talk to me, body.
Talk to me, body. So this guy is I listened to another podcast today, and I'm going to put the link to this podcast. It was pretty short. It was like 20 minutes. I sent this to you. I don't think you probably had time to listen to it.
But, I did not.
This is Stephen Blair. He's a scientific advisor and research. Let's see. He's the director of research at the Cooper Institute for Aerobics Research in Dallas, Stephen Blair. And he says, this is a little bit out of his thing. I'm reading. I copied and pasted from this article. Most people think that you can tell if someone's fit, active, and healthy just by looking at them. It's not true! Exclamation point. Fit, healthy people come in all sizes and shapes. The same is true of unhealthy people. I know several thin people who are unfit and have serious health problems. Weight isn't everything. How is it possible to be fat and fit? Quite simple. You may have a genetic predisposition to be, quote, stocky, unquote, yet you engage in regular exercise. A colleague once asked a 5'4", 200-pound woman how she viewed her weight despite routinely devoting an hour a day to vigorous exercise. She replied, I used to weigh 100 pounds more than I do now. In terms of her health, that's a tremendous difference. Yeah. I often tell people that I was short, fat, and bald when I started running. And then after running nearly every day for more than 30 years and covering about 70,000 miles, I'm still short, fat, and bald. But I suspect I'm in better shape than I'd be if I didn't run.
Yeah.
Fit and fat. So his big thing in this podcast is talking about, his big thing is, if you want to live longer and you want to be healthier, you need to move, just like you're talking about, Hanno.
Yeah, and the other part about this is that I can attest to it is my own concerns when I was younger is just having a high metabolism and not showing fat. I've always commented on I'm at a greater risk for various heart diseases and things like that based on what I eat because I'm not showing it.
Right.
You know, and somebody that actually shows that they're gaining weight because they're drinking sodas or whatever may augment that behavior sooner. Whereas people that stay skinny all the time, and it takes me back to that, you know, the supersize me thing where they had that the skinny guy who eats McDonald's every day. I mean, who knows what his, you know, arteries look like.
Right.
But he looks at himself and he goes, I look fine.
Or the skinny gal that's chronically dieting, always hungry, her body's in a low level stress response.
Yeah.
Who knows what's going on there? Yeah. So listen to the rest of this. This is really interesting, I think. I think this is fascinating.
Oh yeah, agreed.
Okay, I hope you guys are thinking this is fascinating too. Everyone's like, really? Okay, we're waiting for you to get to the good stuff. No, okay, here it comes. We have followed these. Okay, so here he is. He's talking about fitness equals living longer. For most of my career, I've tracked a large number of patients. I'm still talking about Stephen Blair here from the Cooper Clinic. Each individual receives a medical examination upon entering the study, including measurements of height, weight, body composition, and cardiorespiratory fitness. We have followed these patients over the years to see who gets sick, who stays healthy, who lives, and who dies. The results are fascinating. Our follow-up has shown... Here's the mind-blowing. This blows my mind. Our follow-up has shown that the death rate for women and men who are thin but unfit is at least twice as high as their obese counterparts who are fit.
Wow.
Mind blown.
Yeah.
In fact, across every category of body composition, unfit individuals have a much higher death rate than those who are fit. Fitness appears to provide protection against early mortality no matter how much you weigh. No matter how much you weigh.
Yeah. It's not about the weight.
It's not about the weight.
Yeah.
Jax is giving me the sniff down because I've been around the wiener dogs. Jax.
Jackson. Knock it
off. Okay. So what else do we need to talk about? So and then so you guys are all, I mean, I hope you're thinking, well, what do you have to, what do you mean by being fit?
Well, that's a good question. Well, and you know, it's interesting is, all right, so here you have a doctor that does this. Our standard Western medicine, you know, where you walk in and they say, well, first you need to lose some weight. That's literally the extent of that conversation.
I know.
So a person that hears that gets discouraged because they go, all right, great. You know, plus they probably tried it a million times.
Totally.
And they're just like, oh, yeah, like I haven't heard this. Jackson. My dog's being annoying. They've heard it a million times, and it's like, that's the last thing you want to hear. And here you have a doctor that's actually going into the, you know, to like, well, all right, this is what I mean by that.
And this is, it's not like these people are just saying, hey, this is what we think. These are like researchers that have got scientific studies to, I just want you to know I didn't read all the scientific studies. I'm going to take their word for it. But let's see. Okay, so defining fitness. Here we go. Being fit, as defined in our study, does not require high-level athletic training. More good news. I mean, the good news just keeps on rolling, people. This
is awesome. And
that's
something that we talk about all the time, is that you don't have to sit there and
be miserable. It means meeting the consensus public recommendation of a cumulative 30 minutes of moderate intensity daily activity, such as walking. Doing more brings additional health benefits. Overall, our data shows about 50% lower mortality in the moderately fit as compared with the low fit. Highly fit individuals lower their risk another 10 to 15%. Another interesting finding, many people classified as obese have current standards actually have good health profile. We see that as many as 40% of obese individuals have normal cholesterol and blood pressure, do not smoke, and are physically fit. Anyone who struggles with their weight should take this as good news. Stephen Blair's recommendation is to focus on good health habits no matter what number you see on the scale. My recommendation is to not get on the scale. He's saying focus on good. We're both saying focus on good health habits, but I'm saying don't even look at the scale.
Yeah.
Give fruits, vegetables, and whole grains a major place in your daily diet. Be moderate about fat and alcohol. Don't smoke. Work on managing stress. Perhaps most important, get out of your chair and start moving for at least 30 minutes a day.
There you have it.
Isn't that crazy? And he's talking about exercise. He's calling walking exercise.
Because it is.
Yeah. It I is. Mean, it's if, interesting.
If you don't walk, trust me, walking is exercise.
Okay, I have more. Are you ready? I have another guy. Glenn. Oh, dear. Flip the page and see how you say this last name because I don't know. Glenn.
That's a good one. It's like guesser.
Okay, it's G-A-E-S-S-E-R, PhD. He's a professor of exercise and wellness in the School of Nutrition and Health Promotion and is the director of a Healthy Lifestyles Research Center at Arizona State University. Professor Glenn has had prior academic appointments at the universities of Virginia and UCLA. He's a fellow at the American College of Sports Medicine. So he wrote a book called Big Fat Lies, The Truth About Your Weight and Your Health. You know, I just want to go off topic, not off topic, but I just want to go on a side rant for a second about doctors. You know, this has been my experience, and I'm all for doctors, but they aren't the end all know all when it comes to your health. That was my experience. I spent an entire year of my life with doctors with no solutions.
Yeah.
I spent time today finding people with some like serious credentials to back up this stuff that we're talking about. But ultimately, you have to be your own best health advocate, and you cannot just take a doctor's word for it.
That's my experience.
You really cannot. I mean, and it's hard to get that. I mean, I really...
I'll do it at first.
So
if it's not working, then I usually take it into my own hands.
And if it comes to, if you go into the doctor and they say you need to lose some weight to be healthier, then I say, go get a second opinion. Go see Linda Bacon. That's what I'm going to tell you.
Well, unless you know for a fact you do need to lose some weight.
Yeah, but that's exactly what we're talking about. Because who says that you have to lose some weight? That's exactly my point.
Okay. So
that's exactly my point.
Is,
you don't have to lose weight.
It's actually what
you might end up losing weight if you do these healthy habits, but losing weight is not the point.
So what the doctors need to do is reframe. It's not about what they're suggesting. It's the words they're using.
Like the words you just used.
Well, I know. It's instead of saying you need to lose some weight, well, let's look at what we can change in your life to get you healthier at a healthier weight.
No, there's not a healthier weight. You're missing the point. The point is that people can be 200 pounds and 5'4" and be healthy. That's the point. That is the point.
Well,
the
not
point
if they're
is
eating
not,
like crap.
Yeah, not if they're eating
that's
like
what
crap.
I'm saying
but my,
is
what
what's
I'm
the
saying
reason
is they could,
for it?
Well, that's their body size. That's where their body is. That's where their body is. They're walking an hour a day, and that's where their body is. Yes. You're convinced, like so many other people, that if you eat well and exercise well, that your body's going to get down to a quote-unquote healthy weight.
No,
and
what, I'm just the point convinced I'm trying, that I'm going to be healthier.
The point I'm making is that there's no such... It's possible for you to be healthy at 5'4", weighing 200 pounds.
Yes.
Yes. And... There are all kinds of things that need to be considered as far as, what is it about that leg that he thinks it smells so good? There are other things that need to be considered as far as, okay, let's take this cute little.
I just wouldn't rip the doctor on it because the fact of the matter is if somebody comes in and they've got heart disease, they're borderline diabetic, they've got their tests come back with their blood sugar levels off the charts or whatever it is that, and they happen to be huge, I'm not going to knock the doctor for saying, okay, we need to look at what you're doing for physical activity, what you're eating, that kind of stuff. For them to sit there and say, yeah, it has to do with weight.
It doesn't have to do with weight because both of those things could be done and not affect your weight. So yes, the doctor needs to rephrase it and we need to reframe the way that we're looking at it and the way that we're thinking at it instead of coming from it like, yes, you need to do these things so you lose weight, so you clear up this stuff. No, you need to move. You need to eat healthier foods in a healthier way, and you need to get more sleep, you need to have more joy in your life, you need to do these other proactive healthy habits. It's not about you need to lose weight. The weight may end up coming off, but that's the whole point of all of this.
This
is the whole point, is that there is no such thing. The healthy habits may end up having you lose weight, but they may not.
Yeah, it's true.
So if we're focused on the goal, a masculine strategy, you go to the doctor and the doctor says, we need to help
like
you with your health.
You
we need to
pounds.
See you lose 20,
yeah,
30,
exactly.
40, 50 pounds so that you can be healthy.
Yeah.
That is not correct healthy information.
Yeah, because you can go and start doing a super weight training regimen and actually end up not losing any weight, but you have become healthier.
Or become insane. Do the diet betting thing and then you gain the weight back on. Go to Weight Watchers. Yeah. And then you gain, and you're going with points and you're eating all this crap. Go with, some drastic diet and then the weight comes back on, or you're crazy doing it and your body's in a low level stress response because you're like, I've got to lose this weight to be healthy. I've got to lose this weight to be healthy.
Yeah.
Exactly. Nonsense. And that's what these people are talking about.
Gotcha.
Good. Okay. I knew this wasn't going to be as easy as I was expecting at the beginning.
Well, no, it's the fact of the matter is, you know, the doctor's not 100% wrong.
The doctor's wrong when he says you need to lose weight to be healthier.
Not necessarily.
Yes, absolutely.
Let's get ready to rumble!
If you become healthier by losing 50 pounds, then he was right.
You're not going to become healthier by losing 50 pounds.
People
you
do.
May end up losing 50 pounds by doing healthier habits. You're not going to become healthier by losing the 50 pounds.
Check left hook, right into it. You never saw it.
I think it's you're talking semantics right now.
No, I'm not talking semantics.
That, sir, is an investigated fabrication. It's rabbit season. Duck season.
It's you're talking total semantics.
I am not at all, Hanno.
Lands the big left hook, and Lyle is right back, answers with his own. Watch this is unbelievable. What a run!
No, absolutely not. Whether the weight comes on or off is irrelevant.
That doesn't make the doctor wrong.
It makes the doctor...
No, it doesn't.
I say it's duck season, and I say fire!
Okay, it doesn't make the doctor wrong. It makes
it's
the doctor
the way
not
that they phrase
support...
The things.
It's
exactly.
Not making the doctor
exactly.
Helping people get healthier.
Exactly.
Okay, so
it
the
doesn't...
doctor's goal, I would imagine, should be to help people get healthier. Okay, so we're going back to Glenn. And he wrote a book called Big Fat Lies, The Truth About Your Weight and Your Health. When it comes to weight and health, Americans have been deceived. A large woman dreads going to see the doctor, and switching doctors doesn't help. The message is always the same. Lose weight. And so the woman diets, loses weight, gains it back, and the cycle continues. The cycle almost always ends in defeat and the woman becoming, quote, less of a person every day, unquote.
Totally get that.
Dr. Glenn argues that the roads to good health are wide enough for everyone. Our focus should be on physical activity and healthy eating, not on weight. The research evidence cited in the book suggests that Dr. Glenn, that each person's natural healthy weight is unique to him and her and will not be found in any table.
Mm-hmm.
Bullet point number 3, fear of fat has more to do with vanity than it does with health. Most people want to lose weight because they view body fat as unsightly. Bullet point number 4, the average American is fatter now than at any other time in history. Based on CDC data, Americans lose roughly 1 billion pounds a year. Unfortunately, the total weight gain each year is about 1 billion pounds and then some. The evidence is clear, even if often ignored, dieting is not the answer. The only real winner in this battle is the weight loss industry. Bullet point number 5. Continued emphasis on BMI and weight tables may be having some harmful and unwanted consequences. People who fall within normal weight categories may continue unhealthy lifestyles out of a false sense of security. There can be no meaningful statement about health and body fat unless the location of the body fat is taken into account. Even then, body shape and placement of body fat appear to take a back seat to lifestyle. All right.
And that's another thing that's been researched a lot is where your body fat is. Alters your possibilities. Like people that carry more weight in the middle are more likely to get cancer and various other heart disease and that stuff than people that carry their weight lower in their bodies. And that's been researched.
Yep. Okay. So that's our little side note on that. So from Deb Bergard, a clinical psychologist in Los Altos, California, specializing in eating disorders. I love this little quote of hers. A dieter... My thing, if I could just lose the weight, all will take care of itself. So they don't invest in getting what they want. Instead, they invest in weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're being told by doctors that to be healthy, they have to lose weight.
Yeah.
So they invest in the weight loss rather than investing in
health,
being healthy.
Yeah, and the process to getting there.
So the feminine approach is going to say, invest in being healthy, let go of the end result. Just let go of it. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen because it doesn't have anything to do with your health. It has to do with what you're doing. So what else do we have on there for the blog with the feminine strategies?
Well, it goes in, you have in here about I really like this, is finding movements that you enjoy.
Right. Okay. So we definitely established, I think, we do agree that you need to move. And it needs to be something that you enjoy, because if you're forcing yourself to do hard, aggressive exercise so that you can have enough calories out so that you can lose weight, you're actually putting, and you hate it, you're putting your body into a mild stress response, and it's going to work against you, and you're going to end up with injuries, you're going to end up exhausted, or probably you're going to end up not doing anything. Is the most likely outcome on that.
Yeah, because you just get flat out discouraged.
So find something that you like. And if you really can't find anything you like, then just like these guys are talking about, take a walk. And if you can, take a walk outside, because then you're going to get the extra added benefit of being in the, you know, in the sunlight. And, you know, hopefully you can find a place that, you know, in a park or a trail or something where you can be close to nature, which is in itself very nurturing and, you know, can bring about many health benefits. So, they did some, another, study that I listened to today on the podcast was they did some research on women, and they were in their late 50s average, and they were inactive, and they got these women to walk 10 minutes a day, 7 days a week. So they were getting a total of 70 minutes a week, and they saw improved health benefits. Improved health benefits.
Yeah, there's huge ones from just simple...
Just moving.
Just walking.
Just moving. And the link that was on the podcast with... that's going to be on the website and in this blog with Stephen Blair is he was talking about his... You know, the pretty much the accepted recommendation is 150 minutes a week of some sort of moderate movement.
Okay.
And he's calling walking moderate movement.
Yeah, yeah.
And he says if you want to do more, great, and that you will experience healthier benefits from that. But if you don't, that's what they're kind of calling for optimal life expectancy. So this is he's talking about being able to live longer. This is the exercise requirement in order to experience the benefits of a longer life.
Yeah, and like that when you're at the gym and like on the treadmills, you know, they show you the heart rate charts.
Right.
And the ones that are actually for improved heart rate.
Right.
If you really look at the pulse, the numbers, they're actually quite low.
Right.
It takes very little to get to that, you know, to that point of where you're getting improvements.
Right.
And I think that's a good thing because you look at the one that's when it starts talking about cardio improvement where you're, you know, those numbers are really high.
Right.
You know, that's hard to sustain, but it's actually quite encouraging what you get from just a low level of movement.
Right.
I mean, huge benefits.
Right. So achieving the end results in the beginning. So one of the questions that if I had someone coming in that was wanting to do some lose weight with me as a coach or do some shape shifting or they're having problem with body image, the one question that I would ask them is what are you hoping, what's going to happen? How is your life going to be better when you lose this weight, when you have this better body, when you, you know, have this transformation in your weight? And so, you know, people will answer anything from, you know, I'll start dating, I'll buy, better clothes, I'll go on vacation, I'll apply for that other job, I'll have better sex with my husband, yeah. you know, whatever it is. And then this strategy is, okay, let's start doing all of those things now. Let's buy the really awesome outfit now. Go on vacation now. Apply for the job now. Don't wait.
Yeah, don't live your life.
Don't wait for this weight loss, you know, so that you can, quote, be healthier. Start doing the healthy habits now. Let it go. Throw the scale out. Don't let that be the deciding factor of if you're healthy, not healthy, having a good day, having a bad day. Just start doing what you really want to do. Because one of the things, and this kind of goes back to weight loss and body image, is that can be a real placeholder for other issues that you don't want to look at or deal with. So for example, let's say that you're all of a sudden like, oh my God, I can't believe I have 10 extra pounds, you know, that I weighed this when I was 30 and now I'm 40 and I weigh this. And, you know, it's very stressful for people, women. This can be a huge deal. And it's like, I don't know what to do. I keep trying to do this. And, they can have hormonal changes and whatever. But oftentimes, if you look and you dig a little deeper, that is a placeholder for something else that's going on. There's an issue in the marriage that needs to be dealt with. There's a stress going on with the parents getting older. There's a stress going on with the kids are having a hard time in school.
Could be work related.
Could be, you know, I have a really stressful job. And the body not being perfect is a great landing place for all this. Well, and women, men too maybe, but women, we tend to be like, well, if only this weight was gone, then everything would work out.
Everything is good,
so the strategy of achieve the end result in the beginning would be deal with this. This is life asking you to deal with it. And the thing is, and this is one of the issues that's come up for me is, you know, sometimes we need to learn how to deal with this stuff as we start getting a little older because we can't do the intense exercise, the intense under eating to ignore this stuff like we could when we were in our 20s and 30s. You get into your 40s and all of a sudden you're like, okay, I have to actually deal with my life right now because I can't go out and do a 50-mile bike ride. I can't go out and do a, you know, 15-mile run, which would leave me so tired that I wouldn't care that I'm not communicating very well with my significant other or whatever. So you don't have the physical capacity to do these crazy things anymore, and all of a sudden life's asking you to grow up a little bit and start dealing with life on life's terms. So those are some ideas around achieve the end result in the beginning.
Because one of the things you have in here, the second point was about the foods that you eat, you know, about does the food feel good to me before or after eating it? And what I found interesting is today that they the federal government changed their standards on cholesterol. And this is they do it every 5 years. They do the Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee. And like what they're looking at is they're finally taking a look at it. It's like it's the sugar that's the problem.
Right.
And that some health, like we've talked about, healthy fats are okay.
Right.
And they're finally officially changing these guidelines.
Right.
And looking at what the real problem is.
Right.
You know, and saying that, hey, you know, if getting up in the morning and having, you know, like we've talked about some proteins, eggs,
right,
bacon, whatever.
Right.
If that feels good,
right,
you know, go ahead and eat it. Don't be afraid of, you know, because I think there's been a lot of fear because
right
of this, and it creates a lot of anxiety. And I honestly
agreed,
totally relate to it because because remember when eggs were all of a sudden not good for you, you know,
right,
you get anxiety, you go and you eat some eggs. And even though it feels good, you feel energized. You want to go on with your day. You've got this anxiety because you're
right
just being pummeled by the government
right
that this is not a good thing.
Right.
You know, and how these other, you know, and that's the part about this whole topic that I think is important is there's so much anxiety and fear
right
that has been, you know, put upon us. Like you're talking about, you have to look a certain way, you have to, you know, this kind of stuff like that. And you're getting that. It's like, no, but how do you feel?
Yeah. And how do you feel? And you can trust that. And that is, I'm glad you brought that up because that is part of the achieve the end results is, you know, just like we've talked before in some of the body image podcasts, you know, achieving the end results in the beginning doesn't mean that you're going to sit on the couch and eat ice cream all night, all the time, because that's actually not going to make you feel great if you're really tuned into your body. Now, it might make you feel good once in a while, and that might be a strategy that works for you. That was one of the things that Linda Bacon was talking about in her podcast interview, was, you know, we have to be able to take into consideration what people are able to do and what they're not able to do, and find strategies and find strategies that work. So we're talking about moving, but we're saying, you know, even if you can only do 70 minutes a week, which is 10 minutes a day of walking, walk out of your house for 5 minutes and then walk back. Even if you do that, you can have a major health, you can make a major step towards being healthier. The problem with a lot of us, I think, is we won't do something simple like that because we're so fixated on losing weight, and that's not going to burn even close to enough calories, so why bother? And so achieving the end results in the beginning is saying, let's do one healthy strategy that works for you that you can manage with your job, what's going on in your marriage, what's going on with your kids, what's going on in your life right now. Can you leave the house every day for 5 minutes, walk out, and then walk back? Or can you decide that every morning, first thing you're going to do is drink a nice big glass of water? Or can you find a strategy of something, a healthier habit that we're talking, any of these habits that we're talking about all the time on this podcast, can you just do one and start there and let go of this idea that I have to lose weight to be healthy?
And it's
embrace this idea that This is where I am now. This is what I can do. I'm going to do this healthy habit. And then once you've done it for 1 week or 2 weeks or 1 month, and it's a habit and it's easy, then let's do another one. Yeah, and that's going to be a more feminine approach.
And one thing that's interesting about that that ties back into last week's episode is what I think really hurts people and discourages them, and this is a total fear-based thing and anxiety-based thing, is I have to go through some sort of heroic means
right.
to get to my goal before I can ease up and maintain.
Right.
And it's like, well, what does that maintenance look like?
Right.
Why don't we start there?
Right.
Because I bet the maintenance in the person's head is a lot easier. But right. what they fear is this fact like, oh, I have to go to the gym and do classes for an hour and a half, and I have to do this 3 days a week and blah, blah, blah. And then when I'm finally done with all that, then I can, you know, tone it back to twice a week or whatever it is, right. or just do little walks.
Then I'll have lost the weight. So then I'll be healthy. Then I'll be happy. And that's the problem with that strategy, is because it's crazy and it doesn't work and it's not sustainable. And you feel like shit because you didn't do it and you didn't try again. And I'm going to do this. And it just creates this cycle that feeds into not feeling successful.
Versus like, why don't you start with what you can do?
Right.
And I think that's the thing that where your third thing in your blog is surrounding yourself with people who have what you want.
Right.
And I think the idea of surrounding yourself with other people that are in your situation, go out, you know, with a group and walk.
Right.
Do this because it's encouraging.
Right.
Be around people that are going to encourage you and that are going to get stoked for the fact that you just went and just walked around the block for 20 minutes.
Right.
That is great. There's nothing better than that. And we're like you said, we're bombarded with this imagery of what it means to be doing a workout or blah blah blah.
Yeah.
And it's
or
like,
be healthy. We're bombarded with this image of health and it's this thin person.
Yeah.
It's certainly not an obese person.
Well, when a person all they want to be able to do is get up a flight of stairs without getting completely winded.
Right.
You know what? It takes very little for them to be achieving exercise and fitness.
Right.
They might only be able to, you know, if they go up five steps.
Right.
That's worth applauding and
right.
saying, good
absolutely.
For you.
Of course.
You know? And,
of course.
And I think that's what really, it hurts people. They don't want to do it. I mean, I see it with one of my coworkers who just struggles to get to that gym.
Right. Because they're trying to do massive or some sort of exercise to get this outcome. Because I don't think people realize that these small little things will help you be healthier. We are too fixated on this idea that we have to weigh less in order to be healthy. We're getting told that, and it's not true. And the other thing that I was going to tell you, the other strategy that I forgot to mention earlier was one of the other things that is awesome is if you're a chronic dieter or you've been trying to lose weight for a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, is take 2 months off. Like, just don't think about, just say, I'm not on a diet, I'm not losing weight, I'm not doing, just take a break. It's not working anyway. If you've been dieting for that long and going up and down, give yourself a vacation.
The kind of a reset.
Give yourself a vacation. And when you come back at it, don't come from a point of, I've got to lose this weight. Come from a point of, what can I do to support myself in being healthier?
Yeah.
What's one small sustainable change I can do to help myself be healthier? And let the weight land where it will.
Yeah, because
you may end up losing weight, you may not.
The fact of the matter is that's ultimately what's going to happen.
It is, or you're going to continue to be miserable and continue to try doing, you know, heroic diets and continue to mess up your metabolism.
Like, our age is going to change us, and we need to start accepting that and loving our bodies for where they are at that time.
Agreed.
Because that's the only way that we're going to continue to do this stuff.
Okay.
You know, all the time.
Yeah, so that's our podcast today, people. We hope you enjoyed.
That's a good one.
All of the drama and the information. Podcasting at night. Maybe we'll have to go back to days. All right. You can find me at Angela's Gym on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. And my website is goingtoangelas.com. There's going to be a blog up that says achieving the end result in the beginning. It's going to have links to these podcasts that I've been referring to. Definitely going to link in Linda Bacon's website. She's awesome. I think the resources there are phenomenal.
Because who doesn't
really
love bacon?
Right. I know Rob's going to love that little shout out to bacon. And like I said, I was really blown away today about how much research there is out there that supports this. And we're being misinformed. So
yeah, no, we see it all the time.
Shed some light on all that.
Yeah, and if you have any comments or questions or anything, please get a hold of us. And as you saw today, this came from somebody's comment.
This came from somebody's comment.
So
yes.
Thank you.
Yes, and thank you, Monkey Town Productions. Yahoo, yahoo.
And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.